Ladies and gentlemen, fans of all film, welcome to the Take Two Oscar wrap-up episode. What you've been waiting for. It was definitely a monumental night, without a doubt. We have with you three of our co-hosts. Unfortunately, Craig, I am not there, but we have three hosts that will help you out and help you decipher everything that happened. First, we have the editor-in-chief of our blog, take2podcast.wordpress.com. His name may be Tony, but he's here to talk Oscar. We have Tony. Then, we have the other co-host, the only legitimate actor, even as an IMDb page to say so, Brian himself. And all the way from Hollywood, from La La Land, we have the beauty to our beast, the lady who is keeping us in line, us cavemen and morons, Casey Spivey from ScreenRant.com, all here to help you break down the Oscar night. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Take Two Podcast special edition here. We're going to have our Oscar reaction. It is your sometimes co-host Tony here with your always regular host Brian and special co-host Casey. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, hey, hey.
I think we are all still in shock over what just happened, so we're just going to jump in and give our reactions. So, Brian, what are your first thoughts on the night?
Oh, where do we start with this? This is... I guess we have to start backwards, right? Start with what happened last?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you let that happen? I mean...
Oh, my gosh. As the can you imagine being the producer of that show and go, this is literally your worst nightmare?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's...
Is it the vote tabulation company that's at fault? I don't know, because they showed... like a screenshot of Warren Beatty holding the envelope, and it actually said like he was holding another copy of the Best Actress envelope for some reason. Like, why was there another one?
All right, so let's run through it real quick just in case anybody didn't see or hasn't heard yet. Warren Beatty got up on stage and went to announce for Best Picture, and he opens up the envelope and he looks as confused as an 80-year-old man can look. And he stumbles, and it to me it looked like he was doing that whole shtick of just like delaying it and making you wait.
I thought he was reading the script for Bullworth too. I don't know.
And finally, he's like, "You do it." And he turns and he hands the card to Faye Dunaway, who's with him, and is like, "Here, you read it." And then she reads La La Land, Best Picture winner. Everyone goes crazy. La La Land comes up. Everyone's cheering. Not everyone. Whatever. A lot of people are cheering. They give their speeches. They're on their third person giving speeches. And all of a sudden, the stage gets rushed with all of these stagehands. And backstage producers come running out. And they're showing them different envelopes. And Emma Stone's face was priceless. Just like, oh my God, what happened? And apparently, Beatty read the wrong card. Not his fault, it looks like. He read another card that said Emma Stone for La La Land Best Actress, which she had won earlier in the evening.
Right.
And he wasn't supposed to, because Moonlight was the winner.
Yeah.
But how do you let that... I don't understand why there are even multiple envelopes with the same result. That doesn't even make sense to me.
That is where I'm baffled also, because when someone wins, they're given the statue and their card.
Yeah, and Emma Stone said that in the room afterwards when she was addressing the press. She's like, "I still had my card, so I don't know what he was talking about. You know, he wasn't reading my card. I had it." So
they've got to have two. I mean, I think they probably have cards for backup.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure we're going to hear about exactly how that happened, and we're going to see how it all works behind. But, you know, if I'm the producer of the show in general, I'm going to put the most detail-oriented person on the Best Picture handout card person. Like,
right.
I'm not going to put a PA on that, you know?
Yeah, sure.
In 89 years, there's never been a flub like that, so.
Yeah.
Especially in this major of a category.
Exactly. I mean, I guess they'd have to steal the envelopes, because they always tear them open.
Right.
So, I guess maybe it was just an extra, because it was the one right before. Right, because she did Best Actress, and then the after.
Yeah, they were showing a screenshot of it though, him holding it, and they zoomed in on it, and it said Best Actress, and he was opening it like it had been opened the first time. So, must have been a duplicate or whatever.
I guess. I mean, did you guys? How did you feel? Okay, because I feel like there were people who were rooting for La La Land and people who were rooting for Moonlight. Like, so. Do you guys want to talk about, like, who were you rooting for, and how did you feel when that happened?
I think Brian and I both were rooting for La La Land more than Moonlight. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like all the films nominated were probably up there and really could have won and been like, well, you know what? They were all really good movies. But I think La La Land, personally, I felt like deserved it better than Moonlight did.
I was actually not a fan of La La Land, and which is very surprising because it's like me in a movie. But I
Gosling's character.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Jazz musician. Right. I just thought it was overhyped, and I felt like Moonlight really deserved it. And so that moment for me was like a Super Bowl moment for me. I was like, oh my gosh, we're behind, blah, blah, blah. Wait, we won it. Oh my gosh, what is happening? It was like crazy, but it's funny for people who were dying for La La Land to win, like, that must have been heartbreaking.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you look at it, Moonlight definitely is probably the more technical movie and more well-made when you want to analyze it that way. But to me, the best picture for me is something I want to watch again. It's something I really enjoyed. For me, Moonlight didn't get there. La La Land, I would rather watch again. I could see myself owning La La and, you know, putting it in the DVD player and watching it again, where Moonlight, I'm good on one viewing and that's it. So.
I actually agree with both of you to a degree. I'm madly in love with La La Land. I loved it. But I agree with you, Casey, that I still think it was overhyped a bit, because you did see a ton of pub for it. I mean, you know, Tony and I heard about that film in July-ish, you know, when we were just talking Oscar season and random combo. Moonlight, for me, I just simply didn't like the film. I felt it didn't pick a direction it wanted to grasp onto and go with, you know, whether he was getting out of the ghetto and not become a drug dealer or whether he was becoming gay. And I wish you would have just picked one of them and stuck with it.
Yeah. It's like you really tried.
Yeah.
Like, let's put all the angles in there.
So yeah, for me,
and to that point too, I think it just got hung up too much on the technicality of it. Like, let's make it be just this beautiful movie, but not necessarily sell the story all the way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was surprised it didn't win cinematography.
Sure.
I thought
La La Land won the cinematography, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I agree 100% with that. That was very innovative. Are we going each category? What are we doing?
No, I mean, we can get into that now. I'm still coming down from the high.
The show.
Yeah. I mean, before we get away from it, I want to, rapid reaction from Twitter was bashing Beatty. I think he did an admirable job, because he definitely stalled and was very confused. Like, time out. I've got something awkward here. I mean, the only other thing he could have done was stepped back and looked off stage and held the card up to them and be like, this isn't right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
he owned it.
Right.
And, you know, I thought it was strange that the announcer of the show went with, this is La La Land's record, you know, win and whatever. And it's like, well, why did she go with it if she knew that shouldn't have been winning?
Nobody knows except for the Academy. Like, I think, and
so,
that.
So
really,
the announcer doesn't have anything pre.
No. Nobody knows. There's no, like, the script is, like, it's not in the script. Like, that's why they're sealed, is so that nobody can spoil, you know, because you know that, like, Get Out, you know. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. I guess it really is true that really, truly nobody knows what's going on. But, oh my gosh.
So also, the guy, and forgive me because I'm not sure which gentleman it was, for La La Land, that he was the first one to speak in the acceptance, and then he was the one that came back around, grabbed the new card that said Moonlight out of either Beatty's hand or someone's hand and held it up, and he's the one that said, we're sorry, we lost Moonlight, you're the winner, we're not joking, it's not a joke, you guys won. I if you guys know which gentleman that was, I'd like to say his name, because I think he deserves a lot of credit.
Name of the producer, Jordan Horowitz, informed viewers that the category's winner was actually Moonlight.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Horowitz, let's see.
And that's the music guy, because he won for score.
Let's see. Was that him?
Was Justin, right?
Yes, it's Jordan.
Jordan, okay.
Yeah, who was like, okay, guys, actually, this is not a joke. I loved that he did that. That was, I thought it was really big of him to go, I'm happy to give this to my friends at Moonlight, you know, instead of Because that could have gone a very different route.
Oh, I know. If it was me, I'd be like, wait, what are you talking about? You said my name, and I'm on stage.
Like, I think both camps held it kind of humbly, and mm-hmm. said, you know, everyone was deserving, and we're just happy to have our friends up there on stage, whatever. And because they even said, like, we've kind of been traveling the circuit together through all the award shows, and they've become friendly. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. I loved Jimmy Kimmel's takeoff of that, though. He was good on his. I thought he was good overall.
He was
good on his toes, and he really handled that well, I think.
Yeah, the Steve Harvey joke was kind of an obvious joke to make, but he was still quick with it. All right, so let's circle back. Let's go. Let's start kind of from the beginning-ish a little bit and start with Kimmel.
Yeah.
I think I had a huge fear that this was going to be nothing but a political agenda fest this evening with all the speeches.
Right.
And there was none.
Yeah.
I think the only...
There were a few subtle little mentions here or there, and that was it.
Right. But I think the only political jokes were Kimmel, and even his were okay. Like, it wasn't overly drastic bashing of one side or the other. He even opened in the very beginning saying, you know, let's start conversations with each other.
Yeah.
I think at this point, when you've already had so many shows and so many speeches, I think everyone's kind of getting tired of them, and... You know, we had talked the night before. I watched the Spirit Awards, and they even came out right away, and they were like, look, who are you trying to convince? Everyone in the audience thinks the same way as you, so let's just leave the political talk out, you know?
That's valid.
And that's kind of a good point. So maybe they were just done with it, or all were kind of finally listening and saying, you know, let's just thank each other and thank who really deserves it.
Right.
Yeah, and nobody wants, I don't feel like, who might have had some, like, the need to say something like that. I feel like, you know, as a person who wants to be a person of influence, which I think all creative people are in a way, you want to take that platform and use it to further good and to further your the impact that you have on the world. So you want to comment on something that you think is wrong. I think Emma Stone said that in an interview once. She was like, yeah, people want to say what they are thinking, and that's why we have art in general. So, but, you know, like, I feel like everyone said their piece in the past few award shows. Like, they said what they needed to say, and now it's like more people just were winning for the first time, or, you know, there were surprises and whatnot, and they're not going to use their first Oscar speech to go on a tangent about politics. I think
the only ones I noticed that did it were the foreign film and the documentary short, but that was just because they weren't allowed to be there, kind of thing, or whatever. And that was fine to make that short little statement and whatever, and that was good. It was all subtle yet acceptable, I felt like.
And they did it before the Oscars too. Did you guys see their statement that they released before the Oscars as a category?
No, I missed that.
So you can look this up, but they released a statement together saying, if one of us wins, all of us wins, because all of us win. Wow. All of us win because, you know, we're fighting for different voices and unity and all of that kind of stuff. It's really a beautiful piece, but they kind of rallied together and said that what they needed to say through, you know, their PR people ahead of time, and you can read it online.
Oh, okay.
You know, and quote it on your Facebooks if you want. But and then they didn't need to say it during the award ceremony.
Lovely.
Because I already said it.
Okay, where are we? Yeah. Where are we on the tour bus that he had come through the theater shtick that he did?
Very Kimmel, because he does a lot of, you know, jokes with people on the street. I liked the idea a lot. I think around minute 4 or 5, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea, but it went a little long, and I think even some of the celebrities seemed a little uncomfortable, maybe.
Right.
Some of them were really into it, and then some of them, I think that's indicative of people in general, like, with strangers. You're just like, oh, are these people going to be crazy? Are they going to be cool? Like, what's But.
Yeah, I liked it. I agree. I think it just went, you know, 1 to 2 minutes too long. It would have been a quick, funny thing The only part that I found hilarious, and then people, negative folks in my party were bashing, was when he said, you know, who's your favorite actor? And the lady turns and goes, that man right there, and, you know, referencing Denzel. I thought it was great. And then they're like, oh, this has to be set up. And I was like, just be innocent for once and just go with it. Just laugh.
I genuinely think they didn't know. I think they probably
didn't. I agree. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
But I feel like Jimmy tends to pull that off a lot. So I don't think his stuff is set up.
Because didn't he even say, like, are you ignoring the white actors? The one guy. And he's like, yeah.
I was wondering if it would connect with people kind of that don't really, that aren't the highbrow Oscar type people who are throwing swanky parties and stuff, like kind of bringing in, you know, really the heart and soul of people who love Hollywood are just these people. People on tour, like, to go to tour buses and get the Hollywood shirts and, like, just watch movies and just love movies, just like, you know, normal people who aren't in tuxedos coming into the Oscars. It was kind of refreshing to go, you know what? You know why your movies are successful is because of these people, you know, and watching them see their dreams come true of meeting these beautiful, wonderful, awesome celebrities is, I thought, kind of cool. I did think it ran a bit long, but I, as a producer, I'm like, good on you guys. That was fun.
And then you went the exact opposite way with the mean tweets thing, which I actually thought was pretty good. I expected it, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I was wondering when it cut short, had they been worried about the show itself running long, so they let him do it, but only kind of chopped it, like maybe they had two versions, one short and one longer version. It felt like they had just kind of got some steam and then that was it was over. But
yeah, mm-hmm. What was it? I think it was the Casey Affleck one that I laughed at the most.
Yeah, what did they say? What was it?
I don't even remember what it was, but I was like, I think I was laughing so hard just at the fact that, you know, he looks like a homeless dude or whatever. It was like the gist of it, so.
Poor guy.
My mother had never heard of that whole, you know, his skit with that before, and she was floored. She was like, wait, these celebrities get on here and these are actual tweets that actual people, and I said, yeah, these are real actual regular people who don't know them say these mean things about them, and that's the whole spiel. And so I wanted it to keep going longer because then she was getting into it. She's like, oh my god, you know, just being mad at people for being so negative, but then also being proud of the celebs for sitting there and taking it on the chin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I felt like a lot of the actors were in good, you know, they were good sports through the whole thing. I don't know. I feel like this group of nominees were kind of up for it, you know.
Well, speaking of being a good sport, how about Matt Damon with his 10-year-long running shtick that he's had with Kimmel? How long has this joke been going on?
I don't know. What's funny is I kind of forgot that they had a thing.
Right.
I haven't watched the show in a while, but I loved that. I felt like that brought a lot of levity to the night without really throwing people under the bus, because I feel like there's a lot of presenters who will attack the celebrities and throw people under the bus, you know, and kind of make it uncomfortable a little bit. But since Matt was in on it and he was kind of throwing it back, was tripping him and all that kind of stuff, I feel like that really helped poke fun at the night, but not poking fun at people.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
And for as much as Kimmel was kind of predictable, like you kind of saw these bits coming because that's what he does in a show, they played well and they were funny. I thought he was better than I expected. So
yeah, when you started playing the music, when he kind of Ben Affleck and guest, and then they kind of the playoff music while he's trying to present,
and that adheres to what you're saying. Like all the celebs were, you know, they're just with it. Like even Affleck right then, he's like, yeah, you're my plus one. You know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Overall, I think Kimmel did a pretty solid job. He did good. I think at the end, he was as confused as anybody, so he was kind of trying to piece it together with 40 people on stage, so anyone in that situation might have no clue what to say there, but you know, he wrapped it up nicely kind of at the end, and overall, his monologue wasn't too over the top, and
Yeah, there was a couple like awkward jokes in the beginning that didn't really play well. Like the Mel Gibson stuff was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And tough. Then even the what was it, Moonlight? He made like the happy ending joke,
right?
Which I thought it was funny, but it might have been a little crass, you know. Right.
Well, when you're sitting next to your mom like I was, it was a little.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting how they opened up the show with the musical number. Have they done that before? Just open straight to music?
I don't think so. Not one of the songs that are in competition. You know, when Billy Crystal was on there, he would open with song and dance number.
Right. Like they're singing, like welcome to
the
yeah. But not like.
Yeah, I don't think like that.
Yeah, I thought that was creative.
Yeah, it gave it more of like a Grammy feel, I guess. That's kind of how their things go, but. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it got it going at least, got to energize right off the bat.
Yeah.
The only part I didn't like was that at no point did anyone introduce Timberlake and Can't Stop as a nominated song.
Right. Yeah,
you know, everyone else at least got introed, like, and here is John Legend doing the nominated songs from La La. I felt bad for Timberlake that he at least didn't get that one sentence saying, you know, he's nominated and here's the song. I loved it, though. And it's funny because halfway through it, I was thinking, like, how does this not win? You've got the entire place on their feet, dancing, enjoying every bit of it. It's like, how is this song not going to win? It was the song of the summer and whatnot, right. But I don't think anybody actually ever thought it was going to win anyway. But
Right.
That was good. I was going to say, one of my favorite jokes from Kimmel for the night was when he said something about how white people save jazz this year.
Yeah.
And black people save NASA or whatever. I thought that was hysterical.
I thought that was his best joke, actually, yeah.
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 Oh, I hear some ice cubes.
No. that it is me, but I will say that this one's only being sponsored by a glass of water. Being okay. Recording at 1:30 in the morning. We had champagne and a little bit of wine flowing at the party, so I'm good at this point.
Yeah.
Good.
That's great.
Actually, Casey, let me ask you, what was your Oscar party out in Hollywood like when the ending happened?
It's really funny because I had one of two options. I could have paid $100 to go to an event that had red carpet and people from like The Walking Dead as emceeing and all this kind of stuff and like all the hoopla in Hollywood. Or could have gone to my friend's house in Glendale with their kids and their like just 15, actually a lot of Australian people. Steve Brandon was there who was on when we were promoting Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Just hanging out, doing a pool, like a betting pool, and you know, just eating. The hostess had food that was themed like La La Lamb.
Oh.
They had taken the posters of the movies and photoshopped them to look exactly like, but they had La La Lamb on it and whatever. Yeah, it was really, so I was like, you know, I'm gonna save my $100 because I've actually done stuff like that before, which is terrible to pay all that money and then you go and then you don't really get to know anybody or whatever, but you're there and you're schmoozing or whatever.
Gotcha.
But it actually is way more fun to just do literally, I feel like, what everyone else did, which is hang out with other people who love movies. But it was definitely a very, like, intense, sacred time. Nobody looked away from the TV, and it was competitive. So, yeah.
Gotcha. I know our house was just shocked. Like, as the whole debacle happened at the end, it was just like, wait, what? And we had a house of La La Land fans, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so everyone was like, time out. What's happening right now? They're kicking them up. You know, it was a lot of shock.
I was mad because I was telling you guys the results of our voting that we did, and then I was wrong. I had to recant my text to you guys.
So who were our winners for the Take Two podcast host, the six that gave their predictions? Who did win?
Who do you think won? It was a two-way tie between myself and yourself.
Oh, okay. Our prize was
5 out of our 10. Not great, but...
Oh, 5 out of 10?
Yeah.
I know what killed me. I bet I know what killed me. It was picking Audition for Best Song and Denzel for Best Actor.
Yeah, and Dev Patel.
Oh, that's right. I went Patel. That's right.
I went Patel, too.
Yeah?
I was very wrong on a lot of mine.
Well, I went all in on Moana, so I lost two right there for Moana. On the song animated, so.
Me too.
What a shame.
I was so sad when Lin-Manuel Miranda didn't win.
Yeah, you know what, though? Honestly, did you watch the performance? I thought it was a little weird how they brought him out and did that little thing beforehand.
Oh, you thought so?
I don't know. It just didn't play well for me. I don't know. It seemed like they were forcing it. Like, here he is. We got to get him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on that, Tony. I would have just preferred the girl to come out.
Right. She got hit in the head with a flag.
Exactly.
And she played through it like a champ.
She did. She really did. And my sister immediately was like, how fast is that going to be a meme? And I jumped, and before I could jump onto Twitter on my phone, someone had it up. It was,
oh, yeah. She's 16 or something like that? Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. Oh, really?
I feel like this is the first time I remember seeing Disney do that with their, like, a princess character where they have them really that much based on a real-life person and have them out there like that. And I hope she, like, becomes something and gets a career out of it. That'd be nice, because usually they're just kind of like a faceless voice, and that's it.
Yeah, no, she's a good-looking kid. She has a great voice. I'm with you.
Yeah.
She was great. I'm all about it. I liked that a lot.
Thoughts on The Rock's awkward kind of singing, not singing?
I don't know.
I thought his joke was funny. I could have done without him singing the one line, though. You know, where they asked me to sing, and then they said, "Nah, we're good," and then just move on. Like, it was kind of a basic joke.
It's weird to see him fail at anything anyway, so I think you're shocked by that.
Yeah, that's valid.
Is The Rock, like, The Rock is pretty big right now, I guess? Like, people
you mean
really into
muscular
that.
Or
no, like, popular.
If you just put him in anything, it's gonna be popular. That's pretty much the going.
That baffles me. I don't know why I don't get it. Maybe, I mean, this is just mean of me, I guess, but I'm like, okay, fine. The Rock's in it. Got it. I know what kind of movie this is going to be now. You know, not like, I'm not like, I got to see that. But I guess, like, I am wrong. And most country wants to see The Rock.
Well, but that's the beauty of movies, though. I mean, everybody has opinions, and your dollar speaks in a certain way, then your critics speak in a different way. You know, that's why we watch, and that's why we care.
Yeah, that's true.
Save that sentence for your acceptance speech, Tony, one day. That was actually quite beautiful.
I did like his jacket, though. His jacket was pretty fly. Like,
yes. I like that. I like the men that go away from just your standard black and white tux.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Do a little something different.
Yeah. I liked, David Oyelowo? Am I saying that wrong? I don't know. But
I think.
He looked good in that white jacket. I know I could pull that off. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Rock's blue reminded me of Spacey, I think about 2 years ago, when Ellen did her selfie thing.
Yes.
Spacey had a nice blue, he actually rocked like the blue with the black lapel. I like that suit a lot.
Yeah.
Any other fashion? How about, what other red carpet dresses? I liked Emma. I know I'm just so biased towards Emma, but I liked her gold dress.
See, I liked her look overall. The makeup and everything in her hair, I thought she looked good. I didn't like the dress as much, but I get what she was going with. She was trying to tie it into the movie and make it a throwback, you know, whatever. So, she wasn't my favorite. I think my favorite was Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Very beautiful.
Yeah. I thought she looked great.
Yeah. It's funny. I have a friend who's a fashion blogger or whatever, and I was missing the red carpet because I was stuck at Walmart trying to buy things, and because it was pretty packed. And
what color is the carpet there?
I know. I was texting him. I was like, "What do you think of the things?" And he was like, "I'm entirely disappointed." I was like, "Oh no! Yeah. I guess the red carpet. I don't know. I'm not a fashion person at all, but I guess."
I had a couple that I picked out. I mean, I thought the Hidden Figure girls all looked good as a collective group, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Taraji especially looked very classic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brie Larson. Next is Marvel. Oh my gosh.
She looked great. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
And then I was, I don't know if this is a trend for me personally, but I was skewing towards the older ladies in the group. Salma Hayek was up there. She's 50. She looked great.
Yeah.
And Viola Davis is 51. She looked great. And then I feel like Jennifer Aniston never looks like she ages either. So I thought they all looked great. So.
Jennifer Aniston's probably the one woman that gets better. Like they always say, men get better looking with age, but and women, but Aniston for some reason has gotten even better looking as she's aged somehow magically.
Yeah, that yoga and smart water.
Yeah. go ahead.
I was gonna say my daughter had a pick as well. She liked ScarJo just because of her dress. So.
Oh, okay.
She's like, I like her pink dress.
Aww. She's been doing this like mohawk thing that they kind of teased with Captain Marvel recently. Do you notice that? I don't know if you guys are paying attention to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her hair.
The artwork that they've had out there, yeah.
Yeah, it just reminded me of that. I was like, oh, you know what? That actually wouldn't be too bad if she had something like that, but I don't know.
Is it something to tie in with Ghost in the Shell, maybe?
Maybe, but I feel like Ghost in the Shell, she has kind of short black hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of a robot.
Okay, shocks? Any surprises at winners for you guys? For me, leading off for me was Affleck over Denzel. I was all on the Denzel train.
Me too.
See, I had Affleck winning. I like that. The best part of that, I thought his speech was a little weak. But I liked when they showed Ben. I felt like Ben was holding back the tears for his brother, and I liked that. I thought that was cool.
Big time.
Did Casey thank Ben, though? I feel like he didn't thank Ben.
Probably not. Probably not.
So it was like, and where's the Ben moment? Here it comes. And then he, like, thanked his parents, and he thanked Matt, and then he left. And I was like, oh.
It was a little bit of a weak speech, you know.
True.
He definitely didn't thank Dollar Shave Club. I know that.
I was glad in the red carpet early on. I don't think it was Seacrest. Somebody else asked him what's up with it, and he said it's for a role. The having the beard and the shaggy hair.
Are we doing I'm Not There or I'm Still There or whatever again? Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
I guess taking a walking Phoenix.
Yeah. Let's see.
The other three big categories I was happy about: Emma, Ali, Viola. I madly love Viola Davis. I'd like her to be in every movie I ever watch. She's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, 51. I was impressed by how good she looks at 51. So, and I read an article recently that said, you know, they think that she's going to be our next Meryl Streep, if you will.
So, really?
Tonight, she became only the 23rd Triple Crown actor ever, and she's actually the first African-American to ever do it.
Great.
And Meryl Streep is actually not a Triple Crown actor, you know, winning the Tony, Oscar, and Emmy. So.
Now, does Viola... So Meryl, I feel like, really transforms a lot. Like, she'll play similar characters from time to time, but, like, every role, you can look at her body of work and go, she was very different in this role than she was in this role. Very transformative. Where I love Viola, but for when I think Viola, I think just insane power.
Yeah, and she taps into the emotion, and that's it.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's great, which is fantastic and lovely and wonderful. I don't know if she's like has had the opportunity to like really transform herself like Meryl has.
Yeah, I'd like to see her do some comedy just to mix it up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I feel like she hasn't done that, you know.
That's valid.
Let's call her Viola.
We've got your next project.
Yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, don't tease me.
I think they're doing one.
They are.
Yeah, let's get her in it.
They are. We discussed it a couple of episodes ago. They are. Because Kevin Smith tweeted out that he's working on that. Because all his other projects, another Mallrats and another Chasing Amy, they all failed. So he's going to do the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Perfect.
Which will be fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. I had a couple other kind of weird things that I picked up on. That's my favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Dakota Johnson looked god-awful.
Aww.
I don't know if you saw her. I thought she looked terrible.
That's been my thing with the 50 Shades movies. I don't find either of them attractive. And
no.
And whereas when I read the books, all they do is describe him as being this uber attractive man that every girl's head turns. I don't know. I just don't find that. It's just me, but.
Who was supposed to originally play that role is Charlie. I think his name's Huntington. Charlie
Hunnam?
What is
Sons of Anarchy, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to play that role, but they retracted it because I think he looked too. People were, like, the fans were really upset, I guess, because he was too gruff and his character was supposed to be nice and polished or whatever. So, I don't know. It's like with the Twilight and with all that, too, it's like it's really hard to find a perfect human being. And plus, actors look. I mean, they say this about, like, J-Lo and stuff. Like, they can be really beautiful in person, and you put them on camera, and they look kind of normal. Like, so it's hard to, because they both might be really beautiful in person.
Sure, yeah.
When you put them in a cast of other incredibly beautiful people who are, like, I'm living in Los Angeles. I walk around the supermarket. I'm like, everyone looks like they're in a magazine here. So it's like, just by association, everyone drops a couple points.
Oh, yeah. Same thing here. I don't know.
Now, you've never met Craig, but once you do, then you'll see the perfect person once you've actually met him.
Everyone looks like a magazine here, but it's the AARP magazine.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's funny you mentioned that, though, with the scruff, because I was reading in part two of 50 Shades, he has like that 2-day stubble for the entire thing, and it's because people complained he was too clean shaven and looked too young in the first one, so they wanted him to grow that minor scruff. So then it all comes full circle. Is, you know, what do you people want? Make up your minds.
Okay, that's when it's hard to, like, when something is so fan-driven. Like, mm-hmm. 50 Shades is originally, I think, a fan spin-off from Twilight.
Yeah, fanfic, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh, it's so hard to please. You just can't. You can't please everybody.
And I watched the show The Fall on Netflix, which he is a star in, and he plays, like, a serial killer in that role. And I can't, like, disassociate from that. So I always see him that. It gives 50 Shades even a weirder feel when I watch it. So.
Huh. Yeah. Okay, so back to the Oscars.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, all three of us are guilty on that one. Just a little bit. Go ahead.
How about Suicide Squad winning an Oscar?
Woo! Yay, comic books.
Yeah. Good job.
I had it in my pool. I mean, when I thought about, you know... makeup, Suicide Squad, I can't knock it.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it for sure, but also Star Trek was, I feel like, equally difficult to do makeup-wise, so I was like, alright, I feel like I would have been happy with either of those.
Right.
But
Did you notice the guy who won for Fantastic Beasts, or I think it might have been a woman, I'm sorry, but for costume design, that's actually the first win for a Harry Potter movie.
Really?
Yeah, they've never won an Oscar until tonight for the Fantastic Beasts costume.
Wow, and that was Colleen Atwood for Fantastic, and that was her fourth win. She looked shocked to win.
Yeah.
That's fourth, not, oh my gosh, she really did. That's funny. I guess because Fantastic Beasts, costume-wise, took a lot of, like, I don't know, I guess.
I just can't believe they've never won anything, period.
Me too. Yeah. I love them. Those are really well-made movies. How does Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and all those, did they all win stuff?
Yeah.
How did Harry Potter not? Like, is it not an American-based movie? It's gotta be, right? It's WB.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but it's never won anything until tonight, so...
That'll be a fun fact we should look up later. Like, what did it lose to each time?
The other thing that was a fun fact, if you will, was the sound mixing nominee, Kevin O'Connell, for Hacksaw Ridge. That's his first win. He's been nominated 21 times. That's the most ever without winning.
Holy cow.
Crazy. So,
good for him.
Yep. His speech, too. Wasn't he the one that was like, my mom said... You know, the way you can thank me is by when you win an Oscar, thanking me in your Oscar speech. Wasn't he the one who said that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
He had passed, but he said, you know, finally I can thank her. I thought that was really touching.
And then, yeah, then it made it sad. Then he pointed up to the sky and then yeah. I was really wishing she was in the front row.
Didn't Kimmel have a funny joke about that too, where he's like, oh, you know, I thought they died, but they just had really bad seats or whatever.
Yeah, that was the guy later pointing to his kids or whatever. Yeah. I was sitting there talking, usually mixing and editing the same film wins both. I feel like every year it's whichever wins one, they usually just win both. And for my pool, I actually, you know, went against the grain and I picked two different films for each.
Yeah.
And so I even said that I was like, cardinal sin of Oscar pool picking. Usually it's the same film, but I went out on a limb and picked different. And I was actually wrong.
Did you pick Hacksaw for either?
I picked Hacksaw for editing and it won for mixing. I picked it for the wrong one.
It's funny because I was so, I had to turn to my editing friend who was there and I was like, what is the difference between sound editing and sound mixing? And he said, sound editing is where you go in and you're doing the Foley and you're actually putting the sound in, and then the mixing is you're leveling, you go back and you level it all out and you put it in the surround sound and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess they're two different arts.
Yeah. Now I don't want to be a hater, but I feel like when I watch the show and it takes almost 4 hours to do it, I feel like we should take some of those out. Like your sound mix, your sound editing, and just do those in the technical awards, or like the Grammys does them. They'll announce them beforehand and then kind of just throw them in while they're doing it. Like, hey, earlier tonight, you know, Green Day won an award, and they'll just put it up there. And they don't really go full in. I feel like we should do that with at least a couple of these categories just to tighten up the show.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Or, I mean, you could also save time by not letting two people win Best Picture.
Yeah, true.
Still not over it. Still not over it.
We were watching
it,
we're like, they're not going to cut them off now because that's even worse. You have to give them their time.
Oh, yeah, agreed. There's no way they could have played one note of music until he was done talking.
No, that's funny. It would suck if you're in the cat, like the year that your category is cut is like the one you win, you don't get to go on TV. That would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, but I don't know. I feel like we said, most people don't even know the difference, so
right.
You know, why are we watching it? Oh, sound mix, sound editing, yeah, sure.
It's valid.
It's kinda like a bathroom break for most people, I think, so
it is.
Now, Brian, I know you were big on the La La songs. What did you think of John Legend's performance?
I was against it in the beginning, too strong a word, but then, you know, softening, like, okay, let's see what happens. And honestly, I liked it. I kind of enjoyed his little... And then when I heard, I think, like 5 minutes before the show that he was just going to do a melody of it, then I was even more disappointed. I was like, oh, we're not getting either of these great songs.
It was interesting. I like City of Stars almost better in his key than I did Ryan Gosling in the movie.
Yeah.
Because Gosling goes a little deeper, like, to begin with.
Right.
I thought Legend gave a little more soul to it, and it sounded better. But then I didn't like Audition as much. I think we had talked about it previously. Like, you're expecting that female voice.
Yeah.
And I think the vulnerability of it was missing.
True.
His performance. So.
True. Maybe that made it better.
Mixed for me. But
maybe that made it better that you didn't have him just up there singing. It probably would have came off even worse if he just sang Audition by himself, whereas it's so hard to not picture Stone singing it, or a female at the very least.
So he could have just brought out Lin-Manuel Miranda and been like, he could have rapped it.
He could have rapped it, yeah.
Here, she's trying to get her part, and she's really sad.
That's a brilliant idea.
Sorry, I'm just done with that whole thing.
I like
the guy. I'm glad he's successful, but I just thought that, I don't know, it fell flat for me.
That part, definitely. I was okay if Lala, if neither of the songs got it. I was hoping he would have gotten it so he could have gotten the EGOT and been the young...
No, it would have been like a PGOT or something. It would have been even more. It would have been more than an EGOT. Oh. What was it? It's like a...
Did he get an MTV Movie Award at one time? Or
People's Choice.
What would it have been? Pulitzer. Yes, Pulitzer. That's what it is.
Really?
Yeah, he would have won all of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, even
he
more
jealous. He's young, so try again, I guess.
He's got time.
This isn't the last Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, it kills me to watch the Damien Chazelle get up there 32 and you're winning Best Director. That's amazing. He's the youngest ever to win that.
Oh, what so. what were Kimmel's jokes against his age?
I don't remember.
Lala had 14 nominations, and that's one for every year of his life.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. And then they put the camera right on him, and he looks like he's 16 years old, like still desperately trying to grow that first mustache.
Yep. But he makes great movies, though. Oh. I loved Whiplash. I thought Whiplash was kind of, you know, overlooked.
Yeah, people said that Whiplash was better than La La Land, but they were like, they missed giving him the award last year, so they were like, here, you're a great director.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He wanted to make La La Land before Whiplash, but it didn't get, nobody wanted to make this movie, which is so typical of how things go. Nobody wants to make it. Nobody wants to make Deadpool. No one wants to make blah, blah, blah. No. And then they finally get it done, and it's like the biggest thing ever.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
And it'll probably still be another 10 years before we get another good movie musical.
Yeah, it's sad.
The only other thing I had for the tie was the DeLorean bit. I really enjoyed, just because I'm a Back to the Future nerd.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love seeing Michael J. Fox, and yeah, it was good.
Oh, great. Seth Rogen always makes things fun.
Yeah.
I was jealous of him when he was sitting there saying, "I'm at the Oscars, out of a DeLorean." Next, I was thinking, "I wish I was you so much right now, just be standing."
All I can think every time I see Michael J. Fox is, "Why can't we just make a Back to the Future 3, please? Like, just get him while he's still somewhat healthy, and like we can CGI it, whatever we need to do, but make this third movie, please, or fourth movie."
I was going
to
say
the third one. I always ignore the third one. I know you like it, but.
Yeah.
I ignore it.
I was kind of actually not liking the whole bit about the famous actor looking at another famous actor and then coming out and presenting together. I was kind of like, okay, how many bits are we going to do? Because he did that with Michael J. Fox, I was like, okay, all right, I'm like, kind of into it, whatever. But it really
worked.
Paid
sometimes
off.
It didn't, others, you know?
Yeah. But when Jimmy came out and did it for Matt, I was like, oh, this was a setup. Got it.
I think Charlize Theron and Shirley MacLaine were kind of like, what? Who cares?
Yeah, I love both of them. But I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, you're forcing it a little bit.
Yeah, why are we taking time to do this?
Yeah.
I feel like we missed a bunch of people in the In Memoriam. I don't know if we're going to use that, but...
Yeah, we can go over that. It did go quick. You're right.
It went really fast. I feel like was Robin Williams even in there? Did he die this year? He didn't die this year. Never mind.
He was left.
Who was it that missed? It was Bowie, I think. That, like, yeah. Wasn't in there. And Did you guys notice that people were missing?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where they do that every year, and then people are always like, why wasn't that in there? And they always just stand behind like, oh, it's for time. Like, we kind of just pick who we want. Yeah.
Right. I was glad Aniston mentioned Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
That was good. I figured they weren't going to add him in. Although, I don't know if you guys saw the commercials or had the same commercials, but Rolex had that really cool commercial of like 50 different movies that Rolexes were in. And he was in the one for when he was in Titanic, and you can see the Rolex on his wrist. But we were fast forwarding through the commercials and saw him, and I was like, whoa, stop. It's got to be the In Memoriam. I can't believe they added him. And then we realized it was just a commercial. But
yes, that was funny. We were all kind of into the memorial. We're like, okay. Like, wait, is this a Rolex commercial?
Yes.
When did that stop, and when did the commercial begin?
Right.
That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought, though, overall, great show. I mean, you had that little flub at the end that was a shocker, but I mean, at least it made staying up till after midnight worthwhile.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
I thought Kimmel was surprisingly better than I thought he would be, and I thought the politics were limited enough where I could handle it. So, overall, good show, you know?
Agreed.
Fully agree. I hope that Trump tweets him back something.
That was funny.
Like something funny, you know. Hopefully he plays to it. I doubt. Whatever. We won't give opinions there. But I agree. The politics, I was very worried, very scared on that. And it was nothing. It was nothing compared to previous years and what I was expecting. So I was very happy with that. Kimmel, echoing your exact words, I was not expecting much out of Kimmel. And I thought he actually did a really good job.
Yeah, he's a great host, for sure. Yeah, it was really fun.
Overall, I was happy with the winners. Overall happy. You know, I wanted Denzel instead of Affleck, but I'm not against Affleck winning in that. The other three big ones were good, and the director I was fine with. You know, Moonlight winning is a bummer just because I was cheering for La La Land, but I can see why it won. So, acceptable.
Yeah.
I thought for sure Hidden Figures was going to sneak in there. I thought it had some serious moments. No, I didn't at all.
Bummer. That's sad because that's a great story.
When I first saw the title of Hidden Figures without knowing anything about it, I thought Hidden Figures was a documentary about the making of Spanx.
That's funny.
Thanks, Will.
We should pitch that.
Maybe we got to get that automatically in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Add the rim shot right after that one.
Yeah, get that post.
Zing. That was good.
With that, Casey, do you have any wrap-up thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I was, you know, just kind of going along with it. You know, I expected La La Land to kind of clean up everything, and that's what happened. And then the twist at the end was probably the most excitement I've had in a very long time watching a live award show. So that was actually very exciting. And I kind of had my own, like, Super Bowl moment there where I was like, oh, my gosh, we won! What just happened? It was great. So that was fun. And I'm even though it was sad for the parties involved, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Awesome. You're right. I mean, that little end thing, it's going to drive the headlines already. And for tomorrow morning's papers, if people still read papers, that was silly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite tweets of the night right after it was M. Night Shyamalan. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh,
he said he wrote the end of the Oscars or whatever. I thought that was great. Like, at least he was up making, you know, a good do out of that, because Steve Harvey was sleeping away and missed his opportunity.
Oh,
oh, bummer. That's funny. That's great.
Okay, that's going to do it for us in our Oscars review special. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the Oscars. Hope you enjoyed our show. Please shoot us your tweets at Take Two Podcast. Send us your email at take2podcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook. We've been doing some Facebook Live stuff lately, messing around with that. And it's kind of fun. You can actually see what our faces and stuff look like if you want to. And
on your face.
Once you can get, we can get on you, and we'll get Craig in his perfect face on there shortly. And check out our blog, take2podcast.wordpress.com. It is hot and heavy. I guarantee you we'll have some stuff about the Oscars up, and a bunch of, we'll get back to our normal stuff, our movie reviews and etc. later on this week. And stay tuned. We'll have our normal weekly show with Nick and Craig, Beck and Tony as well. And we're getting rid of Casey tomorrow. Sorry, Casey, you're out. Casey, thank you for joining us all the way from Hollywood. And we hope we can have you back. We were going to do a musical episode we were trying to book you for, hopefully one day.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I'd be so down for that.
Awesome, awesome. So, folks, look forward to seeing Casey Spivey back on our show. But if you're in Los Angeles until mid-April, check her out, A Game of Thrones, the musical. Go to gotthemusical.com and to get tickets and all the information about that, because she's starring in that right now. And she's also working hard over at Screen Rant, one of our favorite sites. Check them out over there and check her out. Send her some love on Twitter as well. Casey, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Tony, thank you as always. Thanks for your input and your wealth of knowledge.
Oh, yeah. See you tomorrow. Thanks for coming, Casey.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.